Like this morning to turn to the book of John, chapter 12. I'd like to read the first 11 verses. John, chapter 12. We don't have a Mother's Day message today. The Lord did not lead in that direction. But I'd like to read John 12. Verses 1 through verse 11. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, that is Jesus, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then said one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, "Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor?" This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. He had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, "Let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but ye have not all, but me ye have not always." Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. What we read here is also recorded by Matthew and Mark. And by reading all three accounts, Matthew, Mark, and John, we're able to gather information. And you notice the setting of what we read here. What we read here took place following the raising of Lazarus from the dead, and was also during the last week before the death of Christ. While the religious leaders, this was all taking place while the religious leaders were conspiring against Christ. Notice in John chapter 11, verse 45 through 47. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, "What do we? For this man doeth many miracles." Verse 53. Then from that day forth they took counsel together to put him to death. In verse 55, and the Jews' Passover was nigh at hand, and many went out of the country up to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. So what's going on in John chapter 12, many of the Jews are going to Jerusalem for the Passover. Then sought they for Jesus, and spake among themselves as they stood in the temple, "What think ye, that he will not come to the feast?" That is, they were wondering, is Jesus going to come to Jerusalem? Now both the chief priests and the Pharisees had given a commandment that if any man knew where he were, he should show it, that they might take him or arrest him. So what's going on here in John chapter 12, while this is going on, the religious leaders are conspiring against Christ. Also, we see that what is recorded here in John chapter 12 took place in Bethany, only about 2 miles from Jerusalem. So the religious leaders, they're all concerned where Jesus is, and if he comes to Jerusalem, they have every intention of arresting him, and he's in Bethany at this time, about 2 miles away. Now, Matthew and Mark both record that what took place in Bethany was in the house of Simon the leper. John does not mention that, but Matthew and Mark both tell us that what took place was in the house of Simon the leper. John just simply tells us that what took place was at Bethany. John, though, tells us who was present at this dinner that was taking place in the house of Simon the leper. Of course, Simon the leper was there. There was also Mary. There was her sister, Martha. There was also Lazarus. We read here in John chapter 12 that the apostles were there. And John also tells us that there were much people of the Jews that were there. Some of them came to see Christ, and many of them just simply came to see Lazarus. So we have many Jews that were present at this time, mostly curiosity seekers. John also tells us that Martha served, and we read also that Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with Jesus Christ. So on this occasion, for the most part, Jesus is surrounded by those who had a love for him. Not all, of course, but for the most part, he was surrounded by those who had a love for him, those who truly did care about him. And they're all together, enjoying fellowship with one another, enjoying fellowship with Jesus Christ. Now, both Matthew and Mark simply refer to a woman. They do not tell us her name. John tells us that it was Mary in John chapter 12 and verse 3. And then all three, of course, mention what this woman did. She was there that day and she anointed Jesus Christ from head to foot with some very costly spikenard. And all three not only record what she did, but all three also record the response of many of the people that were there. And their response was, why such a waste? Why did she waste this spikenard? That is, why did she squander it? Why did she misuse it? Why did she throw it away? Why this waste? And we want to speak this morning on the subject, a worthy tribute of love or foolish waste. Which is it? Was Mary just giving a worthy tribute of love, or was it just foolish waste? I want to consider, first of all, Mary's action, what she did. And then secondly, we want to look at the response of some of the people. But notice the spirit of Mary. Three times in the Gospels, this particular woman, Mary, three times she's center stage. That is, she's one of the main characters. Every time she shows up, these three times, she's doing the same thing. Every time we find her at the feet of Jesus Christ. Three times, and all three times she's at the feet of Jesus Christ. But if you look at each of these three times, you cannot help but notice there is a spiritual development. There is a spiritual progress that is taking place. In Luke chapter 10, we're not going to turn there to save time, but we see her at her own house, her and Martha, and Martha was scurrying about, and we read in verse 39, but Mary sat at his feet and heard his word. First time we see her, We see her sitting at the feet of Jesus, and what is she doing? She's learning. She's sitting there listening to his word. So the first time we see her, she's sitting at his feet learning. The next time we see her is in John chapter 11. And at this time, there's a great trial and sorrow in her life. Her brother, Lazarus, has died. And we read in verse 32, when Mary was come to Jesus, where Jesus was, and saw him, she fell down at his feet. And what is she doing there? She's holding on. She's leaning. We see her sitting at Jesus' feet learning. We see her now sitting at Jesus' feet holding on or leaning in a great time of trial. And then the next time we see her is here in John chapter 12. And it is a time of joy. It is a time of fellowship. And we read that she anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. Again, we see her at the feet of Jesus. And what is she doing? She's worshiping. She's worshiping. So three times we see her at his feet leaning, learning. We see her at his feet leaning or holding on. And we see her at his feet worshiping. There's a progress. And we see this reveals something about the spirit of Mary. Here was a woman who took great pleasure and found great satisfaction being at the feet of Jesus Christ, which was the position of a servant. So this tells us about her spirit. But we also see Mary here in our text demonstrates her love for the Lord. Almost everyone there that day had a reason to fall down at the feet of Jesus Christ. They all had a reason to love him. They all had a reason to worship him. Think about it. There was Simon. There was Simon the leper, who no doubt had experienced the healing power of Jesus Christ. There was Lazarus. Lazarus had experienced the life giving, raising power of Jesus Christ. So we have Simon the leper. He had experienced the healing power of Christ. We have Lazarus. He had experienced the life-giving power of Jesus Christ. There was Martha, Mary's sister. She had witnessed Jesus Christ raising her brother from the dead. And she had experienced the comforting power of Jesus Christ, just as Mary did. There were the apostles. 11 of them had experienced the saving touch of Jesus Christ. And they had been called to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And they had all experienced the life-changing, life-altering power of Christ. And every one of those apostles had a reason to fall down at the feet of Jesus. But of all the people there that day, there was only one who took a place at the feet of Jesus Christ. What that tells us is there aren't many. Though we all have reason to take our place at the feet of Christ, there aren't many that do. That day there was one. And probably the one that you would perhaps least expect. I mean, after all, Lazarus had been raised from the dead. But we read that it was Mary that took a pound of ointment of spikenard. And John makes sure he tells us that it was very costly. And she anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. She did what the others should have done. And I believe this was an ultimate expression of her love. She took that spikenard. Obviously, she brought it with her that day to the house of Simon. She took that spikenard, which was very costly, and anointed Jesus Christ. Not because it was her duty. That's not why she did it. Not because it was expected of her. Nobody in that room was expecting Mary to do what she did. Let's be honest. Many times we do for the Lord because we think it's our duty and we're expected to. But that's not why Mary did what she did. She didn't do it because it was her duty. She didn't do it because she was expected to. I believe she simply did it because she loved the Lord. She was at this very moment overcome with love to the Lord. She couldn't help herself. She just did what she did. So you have Jesus sitting there at this meal. And I just picture Mary looking around the room. Perhaps she looks at Simon the leper. And she begins to think, the Lord sure has been good to him. The Lord's been good to him. The Lord sure has been merciful to him. She begins to think upon those things. She looks at her brother Lazarus. And begins to think of the raising power of Jesus Christ. And again, her heart begins to fill with love. Her heart begins to fill with gratitude. She looks at her sister Martha. Can't help but think of the goodness of God. She looks at those apostles. And again sees the miraculous saving power of Christ. And again she begins to think of how good Jesus Christ has been. And again, all the while, her heart is filling with gratitude. Her heart is filling with Lord, with love. And no doubt she thinks upon herself. And she thinks about how Jesus Christ has blessed her. And how Jesus Christ has been so good to her. And so gracious to her in saving her soul and rescuing her life from ruin and destruction. And again, her heart is filled with gratitude. Her heart is filled with love. Perhaps she looked upon the Jews that had gathered that day as well. And she knew. She knew that Jesus was their only hope. She knew that He had everything that they needed. And again, her heart is filling with gratitude and love. And no doubt she looked upon Jesus Christ. And what did she see? She saw God. She saw God Himself. And as she looked upon Him, she couldn't help but think, oh, how lovely. How beautiful He is. How precious He is. And as she looked upon Him, she saw the one and only Savior of sinners. She saw the love of God. She saw the grace of God. She saw a Redeemer and a Deliverer. She saw hope. And again, her heart is filled with gratitude. Her heart is filled with love. And looking upon Jesus, she knew. She knew more than anybody in that room, including Lazarus, who had just been raised from the dead. She knew that Jesus Christ was worthy. She knew that he was deserving of more than she could possibly give. She knew that if she gave everything she had, he was deserving of more. He was worthy of more. I believe she knew that more than anybody else in that house that day. All the others should have known it. But she knew it like none of the others did. And I'm not saying that none of them felt that Jesus Christ was not worthy. I'm sure they all felt that he was worthy. But she seemed to realize it more than anyone else. And with a heart filled with wonder and gratitude and love, Matthew says that she had an alabaster box of flax. She had this container of precious ointment. And with a heart filled with gratitude and love, Matthew tells us that she poured it on his head. She just walked over, broke open the flask, and just poured it on his head as he sat at meat. Mark tells us in Mark 14 and verse 3 that she had this box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she broke the box and poured it on his head. And John says that Mary anointed the feet of Jesus. There's no contradiction here. We see with a heart filled with praise, with a heart filled with thanksgiving, I believe she poured it upon the head of Jesus Christ, and it ran down his head to his feet. She anointed him from head to foot. And it was just a simple impulse of love. She did it simply because she loves him. And after she's emptied the entire container, she falls down at the feet of Jesus, begins to wash his feet with her hair. And John tells us in John 12 and verse 3, the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. The entire house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Jesus is covered from head to foot with this very rare, very expensive ointment. Mary is on the floor at his feet, wiping his feet with her hair. All an expression of love. All an expression of gratitude. All an expression of humility and praise. Why did she do this? Because Jesus Christ was the love of her life. She had a love that was personal. I'm not saying the others didn't. She had a love that was personal. She had a love that was real. She had a love that would not allow her to sit there and do nothing. She had a love that would not allow her not to show her appreciation. She felt, I have to do something. She had a love that would not allow her to do nothing. Many seem to have that love today. A love that is content with doing nothing. So Mary comes with a heart filled with love and pours the ointment upon Christ. In so doing, I believe Mary made several statements. Her action stated many things. First of all, she was making a statement about her commitment to him. When she opened up that flask of ointment. And she began to pour. As soon as she opened it up, there's no going back. She's got to go through with it. The entire contents would have to be used. Once she poured it out, there's no gathering it up. There's no taking it back and putting it back in the flask. It's gone. There's no going back. I believe this is huge. She knew that when she opened that which contained the precious ointment and began to pour, she'd never get it back again. There was no going back. One of our problems today is that we want to always leave a way to go back, just in case. Just in case. We always want to have a back door. We always want a way back, just in case. When she began to pour that ointment, she knew, this is it. I'm giving everything I have right here and right now. So by pouring all of that ointment, she was making a statement about her commitment. And I ask you today, are you committed enough to Christ not to leave any way back? I mean, step forward. Begin to walk toward Jesus Christ and leave no way back. Burn all the bridges going back. And this was the commitment that she had. She was also making a statement about his value to her. Now, we don't know for sure, but I imagine that she had saved most of her life to purchase this ointment. Perhaps she originally purchased it for her own burial. I don't know. But when she broke open that box and poured all its contents out, she was saying to Jesus, "You mean more to me than anything. You mean everything to me." And she was willing to pour it all out. There aren't many today. All people will say, Jesus means more to me than anything. But there aren't many today that are willing to show that and pour it all out. But that's what she did that day. She was also making a statement about her value, her own value, to herself. She was saying that and demonstrating that Jesus meant more to her than her own reputation. She sacrificed her pride in order to serve him. She took her place at the feet of Jesus Christ, which was a place of a slave. She let her hair down in order to wipe his feet. Only harlots let their hair down in that day. She wasn't worried about a reputation. She had one thing on her mind that day, and that was Jesus Christ. She was completely focused upon Jesus Christ. She was also making a statement about the value of her possessions. To Mary, nothing in the world was as valuable to her as Jesus Christ. You know, it was a common thing in those days if you had a guest to put a few drops of perfume upon them. She didn't just do a few drops. She poured it all upon Jesus Christ. She poured every drop she had upon Christ. She was also making a statement that he was worthy. He was worthy of all. John tells us here in John chapter 12 and verse 3, a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly. And we are told in John 12 and verse 5 that Judas Iscariot, got out his calculator. He didn't really. They didn't have calculators. But he figured it out that it was worth about 300 pence. Almost a year's wages. Almost a year's wages. But Mary was so overwhelmed with love, so overwhelmed with gratitude, that she gave it all. And there was no way to go back. And what she was saying the whole time she was pouring that ointment upon Christ, and when she fell at his feet, she was simply saying, "Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy of all. Thou art worthy of everything I have." And that's true of every single one of us today. So what is the response of Mary's act? We have the response of the apostles. Again, Jesus is covered from head to foot. This precious, rare, very expensive ointment. Mary's on the floor, wiping his feet with her hair. And Matthew says in Matthew chapter 26, if we turn over there, Matthew 26 and verse 8. Matthew 26, verse 8. The whole house is filled with the odor of the ointment. But when his disciples, plural, saw it, they had indignation. They were filled with anger. They had indignation, saying, "To what purpose is this waste? To what purpose is this waste? Why would someone waste this spikenard like Mary has just done?" That was their response. Mark tells us basically the same thing. And John says that it was Judas who said, "Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor?" But both Matthew and Mark tell us that it was the disciples. Again, no contradiction. I believe it was Judas probably who first said, "Why this waste?" And the other 11 concurred. And they began to say the same thing. This is a very sad scene at this point. Here's this woman who loves Jesus more than she loves her own life, more than she loves her wealth, more than she loves her possessions. She has sacrificed her rare, very expensive ointment because she wanted to honor and she wanted to worship the Lord. And she worshiped Him. She worshiped Him openly. And you and I ought not be ashamed to worship Him openly. She worshiped Him publicly. And she worshiped Him sacrificially. And everyone in that room had reason to fall down at the feet of Jesus Christ and join in with Mary. But they ridiculed her. And they tried to make her feel bad for what she did. We see that same mentality at work today. Even amongst people of God. Today, people give themselves to all kinds of pursuits. They give their lives to pursue money. And if they obtain that money, they are called what? A success. There is a successful person. Even your own sons and daughters, if they have a life of pursuing money and they obtain it, and many mothers and fathers will say, "Oh, my son, he's such a success." That's the way the world looks at it. Some give themselves to sports. They become star athletes. And people call them what? Heroes. Heroes. Man rushes for so many yards, he's a hero. Man hits a home run to win a game, he's a hero. We have redefined the word hero where it's meaningless. That's the mentality of today. Someone gives themselves to academics. They spend all their life going to school and learning. And the world calls them great intellects. Oh, he's a great intellect. But you take a talented young man, young woman, or anybody that gives themselves to a life of service to the Lord, and people will say, "What a waste. What a waste." So-called Christian parents, when their children have gotten the idea in their mind or in their heart that they want to serve the Lord instead of making six figures, their parents say, "Have you lost your mind? Have you lost your mind? Are you going to turn down a six-figure income? Are you going to turn down a career to serve the Lord?" They're saying the same thing that Judas said. Why this waste? Again, to waste is to squander. I think it's sad when someone squanders their life. And I think somebody who gives their life to obtain the things of the world and neglect the service of the Lord, they have squandered their life. They've wasted it. I know the world doesn't look at it that way. Means to misspend. It's sad when someone misspends their life. You will never ever squander your life serving the Lord. You will never ever misspend your life serving the Lord and giving Him all. But you will squander it and misspend it by giving your life to other things. You will not misuse your life. You will not fritter it away. You will not throw it away. What Mary did that day was not a waste. Doesn't matter what everybody else thinks about it. What does the Lord think? Well, we have the response of Jesus. In the midst of all the clamor, what a waste. And you can just see them there shaking their head in disbelief. Why? Mary, why did you do that? Why didn't you just use a few drops? Why did you use it all? Mary, have you lost your mind? Isn't that what people say today? Well, why can't you just go to church? Why can't you just go Sunday mornings? And if you're really going to get carried away, Sunday nights and Wednesday, but give your life. Have you lost your mind? This is the mentality of most of God's people today. Not just the world. Most of God's people. I almost guarantee if most young people would come to their parents today and say, "Mom, Dad, I'm not going to do such and such, whatever the plan is. I'm just going to give my life to the Lord." And most of them would try to talk them out of it. Seen it happen over and over and over again. Because they consider it a waste. A waste. But I submit to you that it is never a waste. So in the midst of all the clamor, what a waste. Jesus says, let her alone. There in Mark 14 and verse 6. Let's turn over to Mark's account. Mark 14, verse 6. Because Mark gives us the best account of the response of Jesus Christ. He says there in verse 6, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. Jesus was not grieved by what Mary did. I believe Jesus was grieved by what he was hearing that day. They looked at that precious and expensive ointment upon Jesus Christ, running from his head to his feet. They looked upon it all and they said, what a waste! What a waste! Jesus looked at it and he said, she hath wrought a good work. The word good there means beautiful. She hath wrought a beautiful work upon me. In other words, they're all saying, what a waste, what a waste, what a waste. And Jesus is saying, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. And I believe it still is when someone gives it all. The world is going to say, what a waste, but the Lord Jesus Christ says, no, it's beautiful. Jesus also said there in verse 7, he says, for ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good, but me ye have not always. Jesus was saying that Mary took advantage of the opportunity. Mary seized the moment. That is what Jesus is telling her. And that's what Paul tells us. He says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Use what you have. Use the amount of time you have. Use every opportunity you have to serve the Lord. Jesus says it's beautiful. He says also, she hath done what she could, verse 8. She has done what she could. You know, there was a lot that Mary couldn't do. Mary couldn't do everything Lazarus could do. Mary couldn't do everything that the apostles could do. But that's not what mattered. It doesn't matter what you can do. It doesn't matter what you can't do. What matters is what you do. And Jesus says she had done what she could. The Lord doesn't expect from you what you can't. But he does expect what we can. So with a heart full of love, she took what she had and she used it for the glory of God. We have got to learn to do what we can. To stand before Jesus Christ one day and hear him say he has done what he could. Can't ask for more than that. He has done what he could. She has done what she could. What a testimony to Mary. He went on to say in verse 8, she has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Jesus had been telling his disciples that he was going to the cross and that he was going to die and that he was going to be buried and that after 3 days he would rise again. And they didn't understand, nor did they believe. It seems to me that she did both. She understood what he was saying, and she believed. And she came that day to anoint his body to the burying. No one else knew why Mary did what she did. Jesus knew why. He always does. He always knows why we do what we do. Then he goes on, he says, "Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her." They looked at what Mary had done and they said, "What a waste. What a fool." And Jesus said, "It's beautiful. And it serves as a memorial to her life." We all are going to leave behind a memory. We're all going to leave behind a memorial. And there is no greater memorial today than what Mary had here. He said, as long as this gospel is preached, and it'll be preached until Jesus comes, it's a memorial unto her. In other words, Jesus is saying, never ever forget what Mary did. So in closing, we need to be a people who will be found sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ. We see Mary in three different circumstances in her life. Working at home, sitting at the feet of Christ. Time of sorrow, at the feet of Jesus Christ. Here in our text today, at a time of great joy and festivity, there she is, sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ. We need to learn in all of our circumstances, we need to be found at the feet of Jesus Christ. You see, that's where love grows. That's where your heart is filled with gratitude and love. And all like Mary, that we might love Him without any shame. She had no shame that day of what she did. Oh, that we would love Him without shame. Don't be ashamed to speak a word for Jesus Christ. Don't be ashamed to be identified with Jesus Christ. I can't think of anybody better to be identified with than Jesus Christ. He has every reason to be ashamed of us, but He isn't. We have no reason to be ashamed of Him. Many times we are. So we may love Him without any shame. That we may love Him without any fear. Without any foolish pride getting in the way. Just falling down at His feet and giving all. Giving everything we have to love Him in such a way. Without the slightest hesitancy. Giving Him all. That's a problem many times. I've done it many, many times myself. The Lord tells you to do something and you, I'm going to give such and such, I'm going to do such and such, and you begin to think about it. And the more you think about it, the less it gets. Just do what He tells you to do. Don't think about it. He says, give it all, give it all. Don't think about it. He says, I want you to give every dime in your pocket right now. Give it all. Don't think about it. You say, well, I'm planning on going to dinner after church. Give it all. Don't think about it. The Lord will bless. But we always think about it. We talk ourselves out of it. That's true not only in giving, it's true in everything we do. The Lord says, I want you to do such and such. And we think, yeah, I'm going to do that. And then we begin to think. Pretty soon we do about a tenth of what He's told us to do. And then we feel good about it. Mary, it just came over. I'm going to pour all this ointment upon Him. And she just poured it all. Oh, that we might have a love that has no hesitancy. And that we might have a love that we simply do what we can. That's love. Love is simply doing what you can. And that's all Mary did. She just did what she could. But if we did everything that we could do, people would think, wow, are they ever committed? Just doing what we can. He doesn't ask us to do what we can't. And then we do it all for one simple reason. We love Him. That's the reason for doing it all. Just, I love Him. If you were to ask Mary that day, Mary, why did you do that? Why did you do that? What came over you, Mary? What caused you to do that? All she could say is, I love Him. I just love Him. The others might say, well, we love Him too. Not in the same way she did. Not in the same way she did. People are always telling us how they love the Lord. But do we love Him like Mary did? That we're willing to give all for Him. You that are saved, think about what the Lord has done in saving your soul. How can you not give Him all? Sometime just sit back and look at everybody. And think about the Lord saved that person. The Lord rescued their life. I wonder where they would be had the Lord not saved them. And you look at everybody and you begin to just get filled with love and gratitude and think, thank you, Lord, for saving their lives. And then you look at your own life. How can you not love Him? How can you not want to serve Him? Oh, that we might go from here today wanting to serve the Lord who saved our soul. That we would not fight, that we would not struggle against any of His direction, any of His leading, that we just might surrender. All because we love Him. Not to draw attention to ourselves, not to get any applause, not to get any congratulations, not to be thought well of, just because we love Him. Just because we love Him. That's why you ought to come to church. That's why you ought to do anything that you do. It ought to be, I just love the Lord. Because I love Him, I just have to do this. I can't not do it. Because I just love Him. Brother Larry, you come and lead us.